He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the December 6th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and a chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner, Barry Kite. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bill. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend.
Good. A lot better today. I feel a lot better today than Friday. Friday was a lousy way to end the week and start a weekend. But, you know, Fridays are like that a lot. It's getaway day, and it seems like a lot of the shorter-term traders want to be flat for the weekend. And they did a lot of selling on Friday. Now they're back buying today, except in Bitcoin. Bitcoin's getting clobbered today. More on that in a bit. The Dow is up 467 points at 35,043. It lost 252 on Friday, so it's getting that back and more today. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is down 81 points now to 15,003. It looks like 15,000 is going to become its support level from a technical point of view. There's some weakness in the chip stocks today, particularly NVIDIA with their deal. Not looking very likely to acquire ARM Holdings. We've got, what else do we have? The S&P 500 is right now down, no, it's up 20 points, 45.58. Interest rates behaving themselves way low, 1.38. Can you believe that? Up just 3 bips here today. And we've got gold down $4.60. Oil is up $1.46. It looks oversold to me, does oil. Bitcoin, here's Bitcoin down, I show 780 to 48,135, but since last Friday, it's down like 6,000. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, with 21 years in the trenches and the scars to show for it, battle scarred and wounded and, but you know what? Still riding to victory as the market marches on to new highs as recently as Thanksgiving. And then we've had this little brief sell-off. Barry, it would seem to me that the market seems to be kind of getting used to Omicron.
Yeah, and I think the market is. I think the news cycle is. I didn't see The narrative behind the fear was a little bit more subdued, and it was actually a little bit more positive in terms of, you keep hearing things about it not being, as life-threatening in terms of hospitalizations. Of course, it spreads faster, but if it's not inundating our hospitals, if it's not, killing folks around the world, then, it's a milder form than Delta, but we'll see.
I'm hearing, like a bad cold. I think it's encouraging that each variant has gotten a little bit weaker, maybe more contagious, but, has gotten weaker. And the reason I say that I think the market has kind of gotten past and gotten over Omicron is I look at the winners in the market today, and they're very symbolic of, Kohl's stores, United Airlines, Delta Airlines, Booking.com, Gap stores, Alaska Airlines, those Wynn resorts, those are your best performing stocks today in the major averages. And all of them would kind of speak to the fact that, especially the airlines and the casinos, that, this is not a big deal as far as people, going to traveling, flying, going to the casinos. It's not going to hurt the bricks and mortar stores like the original COVID-19 did. So that's just my take here. You know, they've tried to make something of it, and, you know, we've been warned, and this is coming, and, you know, the lockdowns in some countries, and you've had the travel restrictions. But so far, it seems to be much ado about nothing. But the market certainly hasn't treated it as much ado about nothing. Would it be fair to say that once again, now it could get worse from here, but would it be fair to say that once again the market has overreacted to that emotion called fear, Barry?
Well, certainly, and it's almost opposite of what happened in, you know, March of 2020, where the Dow was much more affected by you know, the virus itself. And, you know, the last week we've had essentially, you know, interest rates going down, at least in the 10-year, and then we have the Nasdaq going, you know, being hit much more, I think, than the Dow last week, which, you know, kind of has been, you know, opposite of what you would think. I mean, I don't know how long this can happen, where you have interest rates going down and the Nasdaq going down as well. Those have been moving in opposite directions for more than, you know, probably a year and a half or so.
Yeah. Now, let me give you my take on the NASDAQ, because, you know, this just kind of hit me this morning as I watched it. You know, last week, the Dow got into extremely oversold territory. It was the Dow that was under heavy pressure, and that showed up in the Best Stocks Now app. The Dow came really close to giving a sell signal. It never went below weak hold, however. And, you know, I was starting to feel like, boy, this Dow is really oversold here. And, of course, you're seeing the biggest comeback here and bounce in the Dow today. Now, I would go further than that and say now it's the NASDAQ that's entering that oversold territory. So I actually would be looking for some buys in some of the great NASDAQ stocks, maybe not today. You know, you can usually see by that. That's one of the beauties of looking at hundreds and hundreds of stock charts during the day like I do. That enabled me to call a bottom in the market in March of 2020 when I saw Boeing hit 100. A lot more shows up in the individual stocks than it does in just looking at the indexes. And when I start to see some of these classic NASDAQ stocks begin to bottom and start to curl upwards and start to see that pattern, you know, throughout the NASDAQ, I think it will be time to, you know, add or to buy if you don't already own some of these NASDAQ stocks. So I expect a pretty busy week this week, definitely more on the buying side than the selling side of the coin. I want to just go back to that jobs report real quickly on Friday or on Thursday. It's Friday. It was really bad. It was 210,000 jobs. Now, that is, you know, it's choppy from month to month. It should have been much better than that. And that also was part of the sell-off that you saw. We were expecting 535,000. So just like when a company doesn't meet their earnings estimates, it's the same. It works the same as when an economic report. This is probably one of the most watched reports, too. I think it's fair to say the monthly non-farm payrolls report, but it really missed the estimates. And you know, the Biden administration had some explaining to do. They tried to explain it away, but I never really heard a good one other than, this is an anomaly, and next month should be better. But I heard that last month, too, so we're still waiting for that big month. All right. Here it is. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said Friday that the overall trend in job growth remains very strong, despite a November employment report that showed disappointing job gains for the month. She says you can never take too much from one report. There's ups and downs on a monthly basis, Raimondo told CNBC, noting that the last seven sets of monthly unemployment or monthly employment numbers have eventually been revised upwards. So we'll see, but it certainly was a very weak report. The global stock market's mixed after Evergrande. Okay, Evergrande is coming back to the front burner. It's just been simmering back there on the front burner after really overheated here a few months ago. That's the big Chinese real estate company. that could lead to a 2008-2009 like problem for China if they have to go in and bail Evergrande out, and if it turns out to be a contagion and take a lot of different companies down with it, including companies in the U.S. But they are hinting at cash fears. You know, they're not going to have the cash to meet their upcoming obligations on their bonds. And that is unsettling the global markets a bit here once again. But like I say, even the overseas markets, they seem to be looking past Omicron right now and looking at other problems, okay? There's always other problems. When we come back, I want to talk about China just a bit. And what's going on in the Chinese stocks? Are they a buy here, or would you continue to avoid them like the plague? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We've got a full-blown rally now underway, Barry, in the equities market. The Dow is now up 567, and look at that, the NASDAQ just went positive. It's now up 60 points. My last message on Friday to my subscribers and my clients was, I do not think that Omicron is going to bring about the end of this 12-year bull market. Just another panic attack. You know, I left off the word not, so that made it sound like I think Omicron is going to bring an end.
I reread it a couple of times.
Sunday afternoon, I checked my email. I go, holy cow, I left a word out, and I had to clarify. I said, I left the word not. I don't think this is the big one. Panic attack number 72. So it pays to, to subscribe or, to be a client. We sit back, we look at these things, we analyze them from every which way, and make our decisions from there. And, you know, I updated the earnings estimates for next year, 2021 and 2022. They actually went up this past week. They didn't go down. They went up a bit. And I'm also seeing that the World Health Organization, you know, usually they overstate to the downsides. They say there's no evidence yet that Omicron requires adjustments to existing COVID-19 vaccines. I think that's really big news. You know, we're worried about scrambling to get a new vaccine for Omicron, and it doesn't seem like you're going to need one if it's just kind of a bad cold right now. And they think that the existing vaccine. Now, we talked to our neighbor. She's had fully vaccinated, and she came down. We haven't seen her for about a week. She was at home with COVID. It got right through, and it wasn't Omicron. I think it was the Delta. It got right through the two vaccines to her. So, it just depends on the person. This all behaves differently with each and every person. China, a meager bounce today. It looks to me like short covering. If you look at Baba, which has just been clobbered as China continues to crack down on their own. The Chinese Internet ETF KWEB, KWEB, which is their internet stocks in China, so your Tencent holdings, and Alibaba, and JD.com, etc., it's hit a 20-month low. And now you've got Citigroup coming forward and saying that the China internet sell-off is overdone. And, of course, on Friday you had that news, Barry, that you were saying was more than likely going to happen. Didi, which is their Uber, their version of Uber, got delisted from our markets. That's wild. Would you be buying the Chinese stocks here?
Yeah, I mean, there's put it this way, there's enough risk, you know, business risk in the market with stocks on a day-to-day basis anyway.
Yes.
You know, the last thing we need is an additional level of, you know, whether you call it political risk, legislative risk, what have you. It just seems that there has to be, you know, you've got to have a deep, you know, there's got to be a deep value, in other words, to kind of, you know, feel good about diving into that market, because it could change on a day, you know, daily basis. It's whatever they decide, and it depends on what side of that decision you're on, and which is going to determine your profit. And I don't know if that's really a spot that investors really want to be. You can't feel good about it.
No, and there's been some controversy lately with like Ray Dalio and a few others. You know, they were questioning Ray Dalio. How can you, with good conscience, invest in China with, you know, the slave labor? He didn't have a good answer. He jumped all over. He stepped all over himself. He hemmed and he hawed. And he says, well, I can't know what's going on in China.
Well, Jamie Dimon, remember? Jamie Dimon was just, you know, his comments just a couple of weeks ago, that kind of right before Thanksgiving, and kind of got swept under the rug to a certain extent. That was, you know, he had some pretty strong things to say, and then quickly, and he doesn't really backtrack on much, but he quickly backtracked. You know, my guess is I'd like to see if he's going to go over and step foot on Chinese soil. Again. Otherwise, you know, we're going to go the route of Jack Ma and others.
And all these banks, I mean, they want to do business in China. I mean, J.P. Morgan's opening up banks and trading, and Citigroup is, and the big banks are all going into China. Goldman Sachs has been there for a long time, so they have to tread pretty carefully on what they say. Okay, we got some changes to the S&P 500 today. Let's check in on the Signature Bank, which is interesting because SBNY does have some Bitcoin exposure. It's not helping it today with the Bitcoin down. Over the weekend, Bitcoin just was trashed. That's probably a buy. Bitcoin, I'm not buying it, but it seems like it's pretty oversold here. I think it was kind of selling off on all this Omicron. Just the fear, the general fear atmosphere that was in the market last week. SBNY being added to the S&P, no reaction there. A solar stock, Solar Edge, is being added to the S&P 500. The solar stocks have been under pressure. It's up a little bit. And last but not least, FactSet Research, which I like. I use their services quite a bit. It's down on being added to the S&P 500. That's crazy. You know, another area of the market that really got whacked last week were the small cap stocks. They actually broke out after a long sideways trend about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It looked like maybe the small caps were finally going. They're the most undervalued of all of the asset classes out there, but they just can't get any traction. And then this came along, Omicron, and it really whacked the small cap stocks. So that might be another area to look at. Now that the Omicron is kind of blowing over a little bit. And the last area that got whacked was crude oil. Crude oil had its sixth straight losing week. I think there's some buys there in the crude oil patch, even though OPEC did vote to increase production a little bit. Someone must have made a deal somewhere. I don't know what we're giving up to get that concession from OPEC, but we're probably giving up something. I think you'll see oil back up above 70 and in the mid-70s. It basically went down on Omicron, right? Oh, the economy's going to shut down. People aren't going to travel. You're not going to be able to go to restaurants. You're not going to be able to go to hotels. We're going to have a repeat of 2000, and right now that looks like faulty thinking. You know, it's just not going to happen as we look at this right now. Now, when we come back, a couple of bubbles, a couple of massive bubbles have now burst. I was calling them balloons, the puffer fish analogy about 2 or 3 weeks ago. What were those two sectors that collapsed and are continuing to collapse? Might there be a little bit of buying opportunity there? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite talking about a lot of individual stocks in the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Look at that. S&P up 45 now. Dow up 584. NASDAQ up 53. Everybody happy but the Bitcoin investors. It's down like 6,000 since the Friday. Big. It trades. It trades 24
rough weekend,
hours.
Yeah. Rough weekend for Bitcoin. Rough week last week too, but they certainly over the weekend it was a pretty pronounced sell off. I'm not sure what the volume looks like during the weekend, but some people were certainly making moves. It looks like that 15,000 number is holding pretty strong on the in terms of the support level on the NASDAQ.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And, you know, I would just say, I've been saying that the two most overbought, the bubbles, the balloons, were the cryptocurrencies and the EVs, electric vehicle sector, and they got clobbered last week. Even Tesla, which I thought Tesla was Teflon, made out of Teflon, you know, unscratchable, but no, it even got hit last week, and I know that Rivian got hit. Lucid's getting clobbered today. It'll be an interesting day for Rivian because I think their quiet period's ended. And the analysts are going to start speaking about Rivian and the valuation that it currently has. Let's just look at Rivian real quickly. I said that's a ridiculous. Rivian's up $6.63. It's at $95 billion, which still puts it $19 billion bigger than Ford. Well, I would still say that that bubble remains in place, but you know, some of the air's been let out of that bubble. I think a lot more still has to come out. Rivian was clear up to almost $200 a share. Now it's $111. And then Lucid, LCID, it was hit 60. And now it's at 42, 43. It's actually making a bit of a comeback, but it's down 9.4%. Lucid is a $70 billion company. Ford is a $76 billion company. And GM is an $87 billion. So Lucid's right up there, too, with the likes of Ford and GM. I realize you're buying growth, but you're buying growth way out in the future. You know, it's like buying a long-term bond. It's going to be really, really volatile, subject to interest rates. And, of course, this is subject to all kinds of things, buying something that far off in the future. I still think they're in bubble territory. Bitcoin looks oversold to me. My GBTC is that Bitcoin trust, and BITO, let's just look at that thing. It doesn't have a long enough chart to really look at support levels, but it seems to me that GBTC is kind of on a support level here. For Bitcoin. I mean, that's going, about to, you can only trade it on technicals. I mean, how do you put a valuation on it, okay?
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's short of a relative valuation against Ethereum, which is also how do you value Ethereum, so it's kind of a circular reference.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lucid, of course, for Christmas, looks like they got the old SEC subpoena, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, they received an SEC subpoena regarding their SPAC deal and how, you know, blank check deal, how they kind of came about. So that's really what's weighing on the stock today. I don't know, you know, I haven't read into it in terms of how that'll affect things. I don't believe it's like they didn't disclose or, you know, had some kind of reporting issue. I think it was just kind of how they became about, you know, out of these SPAC deals versus going public, you know, the old traditional way.
Yeah, and I know they're also, we'll get to it in a bit, they're looking at Trump's deal too, DWAC. And there was a lot of activity in another one that we'll get to, which is the conservative version of YouTube, Rumble. That thing went public last week. It's got a different symbol. We'll talk about that in a minute. I want to just talk about Ethereum for a minute. It also looks like it's sitting on support if you're a trader. Now, what is Charlie Munger? Do you think he's going to be buying Bitcoin? Now, he's the 97-year-old billionaire investor who's Warren Buffett's sidekick. Is he the younger part of the...
he's actually the more senior version, I believe.
He's the senior man at Berkshire Hathaway. He says, I hate Bitcoin success. I don't welcome a currency that's so useful to kidnappers and extortionists and so forth. In other words, he's not buying the dip in Bitcoin. But you know what, Munger, here's a stock tip from Munger. He thinks Costco is going to take on Amazon. Charlie Munger believes Costco's 12% e-commerce sales growth could threaten Amazon. Well, you know, Costco doesn't have a real robust online that I know of. I mean, and delivery system. You pretty much have to go to a Costco store. But he says that they're going to be a challenger. He says Amazon may have more to fear from Costco in terms of retailing than the reverse. He says Costco will eventually be a huge internet player. People trust it, and they have enormous purchasing power. Well, okay, so the P.E. ratio on Amazon is 66. I think the P.E. ratio on Costco is it's 46. So anyways, and Costco's been hitting new highs here recently. Okay, let's see. Rivian, the analyst quiet period for Rivian expires today in what could be an interesting test for the electric vehicle high flyer. Lead underwriters for the IPO were Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. You know, they'll be all weighing in, a flood of initiations. You know, buy, sell, avoid, run, with the expectations that a mix of buy equivalent and neutral equivalent rating happens will be seen. Well, we'll see what happens there. Let's check in on Tesla really quickly. Obviously, the leader in the EV sector. It's down again today. Now, I'm just going to say this about Tesla. It's right on its 50-day moving average, and it's under 1,000 for the first time in the last 4 weeks. That's a trading buy, in my book, on Tesla. I think 1,000 has become its new support level. Give or take. Okay, that's another thing. Sometimes they'll dip a little bit below. It's at 985 right now. You got to give a little squishiness there on an even number like that. But I would say Tesla looks like a trading buy here to me. Okay, let's check in on Robinhood. We're going through all of last week's disasters. Robinhood, I would never buy that stock. It's down again, hitting a new low. Since its IPO. And then the other one that was a sure bet to go down for me was that Sweet Greens, which is a salad bar buffet IPO. Man, that thing went up 100% on day one. If I tried to short it, there was no stock to be had. What? The buffet was emptied out. There was no blue cheese. There was nothing left. It was all gone. And that stock got hammered below its IPO price. That's not a good business model. And then the last one here, well, this is an ETF. He actually wrote to me, one of the founders of the SARK ETF, S-A-R-K, which is short ARK. That thing was up 6% on Friday, and it was up over 30% in November. So that's just the inverse. That means that Cathie Wood's ARK was down 30% in November. You're probably looking at oversold territory now in a lot of these kinds of stocks, these transformational stocks. And like I say, SARK was up 6% on Friday. It was up 30% for the month. As those trans positional transformational stocks really got clobbered. And then the last one here, she actually was buying a stock on Friday that's just getting clobbered. DNA. And I know that it's in her DNA to buy these, disasters, stocks that are supposedly going to be transformational someday. But this is another one of the, where you take cells out of the body and you can tweak it in a test tube and then put it back in the body. Of course, this is way out there on the future, too. It may work. It may prove profitable someday. It may not. There's a lot of competition. And she's been hot on this DNA, which is Ginkgo Bioworks. And she bought 2 million shares on Friday after it plummeted. She already owns a bunch. So first she was part of the plummet in the stock, but she steps up and buys 2 million shares. Okay, what is looking good here today? We'll have some featured stocks of the day when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Guyton. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, the NASDAQ is having a very volatile session. It's now down 3, but Dow is up 600. And, yeah, I still think the Dow kind of hit oversold territory last week big time, especially on Friday. And now I think it's the NASDAQ that's beginning to enter into that oversold territory, so we'll be keeping our eye on that. A few stocks here. The one I wanted to mention because it's in the news today is the one that is the conservative YouTube competitor. Now, YouTube is owned by Google, and of course, Google has kicked off people they don't like. And that they think are spreading mis or whatever, you know, the same thing has happened on Facebook. So somebody came along, just like they created, what was it, Parler? Parler was a competitor to Twitter, and it didn't really make much headway. And then, of course, Trump came along with his SPAC, DWAC, and they got $1 billion private equity or private money into that. That's called the PIPE, private investor in a public entity. So somebody stepping up to the plate, or a group of investors investing $1 billion into DWAC, Digital World. It's actually down. They probably had to float more shares to accomplish that. And then the one that's associated, kind of, there's rumor that there's going to be a distribution deal. CFVI is going to be Rumble. Is it Bumble? No, it's Rumble. And Rumble is the competitor to YouTube. Now, whether they can make any headway or inroads, it's tough when you got somebody that really dominates that space. But the CFVI is up 8.7% today. It's definitely worth putting it on your watch list. This thing was $9.77 last week. Then they announced that they would be teaming up with Rumble. And all of a sudden, it's almost at $13 per share. I think that oil is oversold. I think stocks in the energy patch. And just like anything else, you know, Barry, there's good stocks in the energy patch, and there's, there's very soggy stocks in the energy patch that really aren't growing anymore, don't have a lot of prospects for growth. I've kind of been watching Calumet Specialty Partners, CLMT, which is, you know, that's down in the emerging growth area. It's only $1.1 billion in market capitalization. But I think the ranking on it overall out of almost 6,000 is 318. And it's pulled back here recently a little bit. And I don't know. I think oil's going to bounce and start regaining some of the territory it lost. Oil went off basically on Omicron fears. And that seems to be dissipating somewhat. And it seems to me like there might be some buying opportunities. Calumet also has a relative strength on a 1 to 99 basis of 99. It has some very good momentum or relative strength. And then just looking at deeply oversold stocks in the NASDAQ, the software sector got taken apart last week. You know, that happens about every 6 months. And it comes storming back to hit new highs. We're talking the cloud stocks. Some of them deserved it. DocuSign was down 40% on Friday, and DocuSign was way overvalued. And then the other one was Zoom Information Technology, which is ZM, the video conferencing stock. It was way overvalued, too. But it also took down a lot of the cybersecurity stocks. And the one that we own that's dropped clear down to its 200-day moving average and is finally starting to bounce is a different Zoom. It's Zoom Info, ZI. They're a business-to-business data and information solutions for sales and marketing teams. It's a fast-growing company that's profitable in the software space and really strong growth. They had a little bit of an off quarter, but it's pulled clear back to its 200-day moving average, which I kind of consider to be the support, technical support of last resort. Technical support of last resort is that 200-day moving average. And in fact, last week the Dow went below its 200-day moving average. And when that happens, it's either going to have a big snapback or it's going to continue to plunge. And I felt like, you know, the more likely scenario was a big snapback because that's oversold territory below that 200-day moving average. And you're getting that big snapback today. Zoom hit its 200-day moving average on Friday, and it either could have continued lower below that 200-day or bounce, and it's bouncing today. It's up 6%. So there's just three to keep your eye on. ZI, CFVI, which is trying to take on YouTube, and Calumet, CLMT, which could benefit in a bounce in oil prices. Well, Barry, we got a busy week lined up for us, a lot of people to talk to, a lot of money, new money coming in, looking for a home. I'll be looking for some pullback areas to put that money into this week. We'll be locked in. I call my little office here the war room. While the market's open, man, the doors are locked, and I've got the game face on, looking at a lot of charts here. And you're talking to folks along with the team. If you'd like to talk to us, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. I put out the newsletter early Saturday morning with my new macro outlook and price target for the S&P 500. And, you know, we're kind of at a low right now. Everybody is with their portfolios for the year. But I see this. I think we could have a heck of a good December. When all is said and done. So anyways, it's a good time to talk to us at 855-611-BEST. And for ideas on individual stocks, there's been a lot of pullbacks recently. Everybody says, I'm waiting for a pullback. Well, you just got your pullback. Let's see if you've got the moxie to step forward into that pullback. You go to our website, check out the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.